I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John Cobell Podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
Mark Thompson here for John Cobell. John's back on Tuesday. The Powerball climbing up. Tomorrow night is the next drawing. You can get your $760 million, sixth largest prize in the game's history. If you win, you can go for the, you know, the payments. They drag them out. Or you can go for the lump sum. Of course, I think if you're listening to KFI, and I imagine most of you to be people who are lump sum people. I don't think you're payment people. I don't think you're these annuitized payment folk. I see you as a lump sum person. And that is the right way to be.
Did you call me a lump?
Ish. your ticket, you should get $383 million if you want the lump sum. And, you know, they do that whole thing where, you know, this is how you should shelter the money. This is how you should invest the money. But the reality is it's so much that it almost doesn't matter. Although, I will tell you, if you want a little bit of a personal riff, like just to follow something down a rabbit hole on YouTube or just on the internet, Google lottery sad stories or lottery losses or winners who've lost it all / lottery. And you will see the way $10 million, $20 million, I mean, big amounts of money evaporates in people's lives. Some of these people end up destitute who've won $20 million. It's an extraordinary thing. The most common thing, having done this little run that I'm talking about several times, the most common thing is that people fund family members and also business endeavors that are either their business endeavors, they've been pitched by other people or family members, and before you know it, there's no money left. It's an extraordinary thing, but check it out. The lottery drawing is tomorrow night. The Rose Parade may get rain, really? There are some storms moving through. It doesn't happen a lot. There certainly has been rain. The theme this year, for the Rose Parade. Anybody know? The theme is celebrating a world of music, the universal language. That is the theme. The 135th Annual Tournament of Roses Parade, 8 o'clock on New Year's morning. Live performances from Michelle Williams, Jordan Sparks, and David Archuleta. I remember David Archuleta and Jordan Sparks when they were just contestants on American Idol. Now the big stars in the Rose Parade. And, of course, following the parade is the Rose Bowl game. It's going to be Alabama and Michigan in that ball game. But I think this, I like this music thing. I think this could be one of the best Rose Parade offerings in some time. 5.5 miles is the parade route across Orange Grove Boulevard in Pasadena. They started on the corner of Green Street and Orange Grove Boulevard. They go north on Orange Grove, and that's where most of the viewing takes place. There are street closures all over the place. I won't, you know, you can check your local listings. I'm Deborah, and the KFI News Department will be reviewing them as the time gets closer. But Pasadena will be a place you, if you want to see the Rose Parade live, you probably want to get there super early. Metro is going to operate 24-hour service on Metro Rail. Also on the Silver and Orange lines on the night of December 31st through the morning of Parade Day. And they'll offer enhanced service on the Gold Line to accommodate large numbers of riders on Parade Day. And you can get all the Metro service information on Twitter at Metro Alerts, and you can also find them at metro.net. But after it's over, it's only 2 hours, you know, the Rose Parade. I mean, it's really cool. I think, you know, if you've never seen these floats in person, it's worth checking out. It really is cool. But I do want to mention that it's only 2 hours, so there is a post-parade viewing that you can do. You can see all the floats after things have finished. And I believe that's on Sierra Madre Boulevard. I think that's on Tuesday in Pasadena. Is that right? The reason because this is a picture from 2023. Okay, that's what I was thinking. It says Tuesday, but there is a, Richie, can you find out? There is a time that you can view these floats after the parade. There's like a separate viewing area, and you can just bring the family to that if you don't want to slug through the big crowd on parade day.
Yeah, let me look into that.
Yeah, it's so you've got all these performances. I mentioned Michelle Williams, Jordan Sparks, and you've got, of course, the Rose Queen. She is crowned the Rose Queen, and she will be there waving. All of the floats are put together with the seeds and the flowers and all the organic material, and a lot of it is volunteers. Even though the floats themselves cost hundreds of thousands oftentimes because they're, as you know, they're representing products and that sort of thing. The parade is going to air on several TV networks, ABC, NBC, and Univision. And it's also going to be live streamed for the first time ever. 5 streaming services will live stream the Rose Parade: YouTube, Pluto TV, Fubo, Local Now, and Christmas Plus. And the Grand Marshal, does anybody know? It's multi-award-winning performer Audra McDonald, the 2024 Grand Marshal. Awesome. Singer, actress. It's going to be a great Rose Parade, so enjoy in all those ways, and we'll tell you where that post-Rose Parade viewing is. I'll let you know before the end of the show, because they have sort of an open house, and you can see the floats even if you miss the actual parade. So that's your Rose Parade news. Still to come, controversy around a guy who used to play James Bond. He may face charges now. We'll get to that next. It's the John Cobalt Show. Mark Thompson sitting in on KFI AM 640.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
Mark Thompson here for John Cobalt. Yeah. Next week, I'll be back with Conway. It's been a long estrangement. You know, I'm in on Tuesday nights with Tim. I've been gone for 3 weeks in Central and South America. And by the way, that's a vacation that my luggage is still enjoying. Yeah, there, Central and South America is so great that my luggage didn't want to leave.
And that my present that you bought me for the holidays is still somewhere far away.
You, Conway, all my KFI colleagues sadly didn't receive the gifts that I had so carefully packed in those bags. And those bags unloaded from the boat to the dock. And somehow, between the boat and the dock, the 80 feet between the boat and the dock, they were lost.
That's so crazy.
Yeah.
You think they're at the bottom of the ocean now?
Oh, that would just be, that would be.
I hate to bring it up, but 80 feet from the dock to the ship.
No, somebody stole it.
Insult to injury if they fell into the watery grave that would bring them to the ocean floor. But I think that, I don't know if they were stolen, but it definitely, I don't know. I'm in touch with the cruise line, whatever, you know, the Celebrity is the name of the cruise line. And they, I mean, as you might imagine, I only go on Celebrity.
Oh, boy.
by the way, I was the only celebrity with a small C on Celebrity, that's for sure. On Celebrity Cruise Line. I didn't see any other, quote, celebrities. There might have been some, but they were definitely traveling incognito. But anyway, the cruise line still hasn't found the luggage. But I digress. The point is I was off the air in Central and South America and looking forward to seeing Tim and being back on the air on Tuesday afternoon. Following this show, actually, on Tuesday. So I'll see John and Tim both next week. Anyway, as we continue on, I mentioned, and this is interesting, I thought when Pierce Brosnan got into trouble, I'd mention it to Richie, who is the youngest producer of the show today. And I said, you don't know who Pierce Brosnan is, do you? And Richie, be honest, you didn't know who Pierce Brosnan was.
Zero clue.
What?
So I'm not good with names, okay? And then, also the picture online, he's a little older, but I have seen quite a few movies of his. Recently, I actually watched Dante's Peak, which is crazy, but there I am.
Well, I'll tell you why it's crazy, because of all the movies that Pierce Brosnan has done, Dante's Peak is not one that you would hear most people, you know, reference.
I said 007.
Yeah, of course. He was 007.
Yep, no clue.
You're allowed not to know. I mean, you're a young guy, but Pierce Brosnan is I consider him showbiz royalty-ish, you know. He played James Bond, right, multiple times.
I think if you become James Bond, you're automatically royalty.
I agree. I mean, that really is as far as you need to go.
Did he get knighted by the Queen?
Oh, that's a great question. That's totally knowable. Richie, will you check on whether he's Sir Pierce Brosnan?
Sure.
He is so handsome. This guy, now I'm a straight man, but I can still tell when somebody's incredibly handsome. And this guy, he did a show years ago. I want to say it was called Remington Steele.
Yes.
Is that it? Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay. Remington Steele. And, like, that was the prime Pierce Brosnan. I mean, you can't get more handsome than that guy. And then he became James Bond. And he's just debonair and terrific. And I remember seeing this, and then I'll tell you the trouble he's in. I remember seeing a DVD. You know, in the old days when you used to get DVDs, they'd have the movie and they'd have deleted scenes and they'd have like a director's track or a writer's track along with the movie. That's one of the reasons I love DVDs, because I'd love to see the movie and then hear the director or writer or producer, whomever, or sometimes the performer talking about what went into a movie, what went into certain things associated with it, certain rewrites, etc. So I watched him in a movie. I want to say it was called The Tailor of Panama. Somebody can check. I think it was called The Tailor of Panama. And he plays a bad guy in it. And I really liked the movie. Jeffrey Rush is in the movie, too. And he's brilliant. So you got really good performances. But it was really a good story and good movie. But he plays a bad guy. So after the movie, I went back and listened to the director's cut. I mean, the director's track, you know. Same movie, now you're hearing the director talk about it. And he said this about Pierce Brosnan's look. He said, Pierce Brosnan was so handsome in the movie that we, because he was a bad guy, we tried to dirty him up. Like, we didn't want him to look so dashing. So we made him a smoker, like a chain smoker. And we had him, I think, grow a mustache or, you know, like some facial hair. We tried as best we could to sort of just take the edge off his handsome. And we just couldn't do it. And to hear the director say it, it was really remarkable. I think it was The Tailor of Panama was the movie he played a bad guy in. Anyway.
So he was an honorary officer of the Order of the British Empire for his outstanding contribution to the British film industry, but he was not able to get knighted because he's Irish.
Oh, wow.
So he's Pierce Brosnan OBE.
I see. Wow. Very good knowledge. Well done. Very well done. Well, he could be facing possible jail time. He walked into Yellowstone National Park's hydrothermal area in violation of federal law. These are court documents filed against Mr. Brosnan. He's facing citations of, quote, foot travel in all thermal areas and within Yellowstone Canyon confined to trails and violating closure and use limits. Federal law states, this is a federal law, that foot travel in all thermal areas and within the Yellowstone Canyon between the Upper Falls and Inspiration Point must be confined to boardwalks or trails that are maintained for such travel, and they are marked by official signs. He is not responding to requests for interview or comment, but he will be facing these charges. Yellowstone Gorges, 2.2 million acres. More than 10,000 different hydrothermal features, geysers, hot springs. They have a lot of guidelines and warnings throughout the park. A lot of these hot springs, I mean, they're hot. They've injured people. They've killed people. People have died from this in Yellowstone. More than 20 people have died after entering or accidentally falling into Yellowstone's hot springs, according to the park. A lot of these thermal pools can reach temperatures of over 150 degrees Fahrenheit. Still, they say a number of visitors to the park, like Brosnan, violate this law when they visit Yellowstone, some leading to incidents of serious injury or even death. By the way, we've talked a lot about his handsome, about his roles in various movies. How old is Pierce Brosnan? Deborah, how old do you think Pierce Brosnan is?
I'm guessing he's 69.
Eric?
73.
And do you know, maybe you, do you know already, Richie? You might know.
I do.
Okay, so I will give it to Deborah. He is 70.
It's funny, yeah. I was going to say 70, honestly, but then I said, no, I
don't. 69 is pretty strong. I see him in Malibu from time to time. He's a big Malibu resident. I'm no longer Malibu, but I'm out there visiting. And he's pretty high profile. You'll see him knocking around, like Dick Van Dyke. You know, if you go out to Malibu and you walk through the Ralph's parking lot, you can spot either Pierce Brosnan or Dick Van Dyke a lot of the time. So anyway, that's his latest problem. Those are federal charges. When we come back, Jason Nathanson on the new movies coming out this week. Mark Thompson here for John Cobalt on KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
when I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
the
podcast would have taken a left turn. Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Michael Rappaport, and my wife, Kibi Rappaport, starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
Happy New Year, everybody. How long can you say Happy New Year? And I've just started. That was like one of my first Happy New Years. But I think you, 10 days maybe? Mike is
agreed. That's too long. I give people till the 5th this week. That's Friday.
Wow.
A week from today.
All right, I'll go with that. I'll ride with that. I really will. Good stuff. By the way, I got an email about the high surf. You can email me, themarkthompsonshow@gmail.com. This is not the Mark Thompson Show. That's my other show. But I'm just saying that that's the email address, lest there be any confusion. Someone says, my daughter asked, what's causing our mean wild waves? As a former weather guy, can you explain, please? She may have been listening on the iHeartRadio app while driving. The answer is storms. And I thought Deborah explained it well earlier in the show. It's a series of storm systems that are producing these huge waves. We get them typically in the winter months. And there are the kind of warnings that we're getting right now, typically. So it's a pretty straightforward explanation, but it can definitely be a less than straightforward situation when you're standing there watching them because they are extremely dangerous. This is the end of the year, and there are movies. There are, I don't know if there's controversy with them. There's a little controversy around Maestro, I've noticed. But anyway, the guy to sort out new movies coming out this week and maybe a reflection that this year passed, he's ABC's Jason Nathanson. Hi, Jason. Oh, we have him? No?
Can you hear me? Hello.
Oh, there he is. Yeah, hi. Now I hear you.
Good to hear.
So first things first, Maestro seemed like a kind of a tour de force movie. I mean, it was a big commitment on the part of Bradley Cooper telling the story.
Sure.
We're talking about now I'm seeing like kind of, it was like a shoe-in for Oscar. All this, now I'm seeing kind of conflicting reports on it.
Well, in terms of the quality of it, yeah, I mean, the critics are still liking it, and it's been nominated for Critics' Choice and Golden Globe Awards, and it's getting some love as we get towards the Oscar nominations, which will be coming in a couple weeks. So I think it's still doing well there, but...
The streamers.
I got to say, when I started watching it, there was a thought in my mind, is like, I don't know if non-critic regular people are going to sit through this movie. I really don't. And in fact, I would love nothing more than to see data from Netflix to see when they started it on Netflix, did they complete it? Or when did they turn it off and how far into it they turned it off?
Oh, that's a great question.
I'm thinking like 20 minutes. And that's not saying that the movie's bad. This is all subjective. Everybody has their own taste. I admire what Bradley Cooper was trying to do here and his commitment to it. He spent apparently 6 years learning how to conduct so his movements would be like Leonard Bernstein. So that's great. For me, though, the movie did not work. The pacing of it, it's frenetic. Everybody's talking over each other. I couldn't understand what a lot of people were saying. And it's just on go from the beginning. And it's overwhelmed to my senses with the music and everything. It was just overwhelming to me. And it also, it's very kind of, you know, artistic in a way that I don't think a lot of people are going to appreciate. So, again, that's the kind of movie that plays. It plays well to critics. It plays well to Hollywood. But I don't think it's playing well to the rest of the general population.
That's such a terrific summary of it. You know, wasn't that movie that Netflix did a few years ago? I think it was called Roma.
Yeah.
And it was the slowest movie. It reminded me of... now, this movie is not slow. Maestro is not slow.
No, it is not.
But it reminded me, when you were talking about the artistic vision and thinking like, kind of how it plays to critics, because it swept. But I thought, wow, man, I don't know. I thought it was a long watch. You know.
It did really well, and a lot of people thought it was actually going to win the Academy Award that year, but it didn't. I think Green Book, that was the year Green Book actually beat it out.
Okay.
But that was also, you know, again, that was a director's vision of his childhood, so it was very, very personal. I think it was very well done, but it's not a movie for everybody, and that's the debate we always get into around this time of year, right? Is it the big crowd pleaser? Basically, is it the Barbies of the world that deserve to win the Oscars, or is it the artistic stuff that not everybody's going to get on board with, but this certain sect of Hollywood, quote unquote, elite, they deem as the most, you know, noteworthy. And the general public and those two groups don't always see eye to eye.
Yeah.
Sometimes they do. Yeah.
Green Book's a great example. I thought that was a great story and pretty accessible for anybody. You know,
it was very accessible. When we look back on that year, though, I don't think that was necessarily the
best movie.
Green Book comes on TV in 10 years. Are you sitting and watching it?
I see.
I don't know about that. And that's usually how I try to judge things. And this year, we have a lot of films like that are very kind of, they're rubbing people the wrong way, or, you know, some people like it or some people hate it. Maestro is one of those movies. I think Poor Things with Emma Stone from director Yorgos Lanthimos is one of those. I happen to love it. I know a lot of people who absolutely hate it because it's weird. It's a very, very weird movie. But you got a bunch of those. But then also what I do like about this year is you do have the Barbies that are in there. You have the Oppenheimers that are in there. And those two movies are number 1 and 3 on the worldwide box office list this year in terms of money made. So, and, you know, I think both of those movies are going to do very well at the upcoming award shows.
No, it's very good. Well, can you hang with us for a minute or two? I want to talk about any new movies that are coming out for this last holiday weekend. Do you have a second?
No? Yeah, sure.
Okay. Well, another minute or two with Jason Nathanson when we come back. He's always got good takes, and I just want to maybe have a little window on some of the new movies for the weekend. That is, and then that wraps it up. I can't believe it for the year. Wow. Happy New Year. I've only got to the 5th to say it. It's the John Cobalt Show.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're talking to Jason Nathanson from ABC. We're just talking about movies and talking about awards and some controversies this past year. And I was just wondering if there's kind of a late inning rally here at the holiday season for any films that you think we should see or any thoughts you have about new movies.
Yeah, a couple that have come out, and a lot came out this week. You know, The Color Purple came out on Monday and did really well at the box office. And then everything's kind of faded since then. I like The Color Purple. I think the second half is stronger than the first half, but I think it's overall a good, if you're going to update it, I think it's, you know, a pretty worthy update. One of the movies out this week also in the past week or so, which I thought would get more awards attention, but it doesn't seem to be, is The Iron Claw. That's the Zac Efron wrestling movie.
Oh, yeah.
With Jeremy Allen White from The Bear. It's the true story of the Von Erich brothers, who I was not aware of them. And going into it, I was not aware of really anything about this movie except it was supposed to be a wrestling movie. So I was expecting like over the top machismo wrestling and like good times and, you know, people hurting their backs and taking pills and things like that. This is a very dark drama. What the true story of this family is absolutely tragic and devastating. And I did not expect it to be as heavy as it was, which is also, again, why I'm surprised it's not getting more awards attention, because it's very well done, and Zac Efron is probably, it's probably the best dramatic role he's ever done. But it is somebody I was watching with. She was actually mad at me for putting it on because she was it's so dark.
Wow.
None of us were expecting that. So
wow.
Just kind of
now
know
I'm
that
super intrigued.
It's not, you know, it's not Wonka. So just if you're going to the theater this weekend and you're looking for something kind of light and family friendly, Wonka's more your choice, which I really liked, by the way. I was surprised. I went in with very low expectations. I liked Wonka a lot. The Iron Claw is not some kind of like wrestling romp.
The Iron Claw is in theaters only?
Yes, correct. Okay. It is in theaters right now. I also really liked, I think, as we mentioned before, Poor Things, which is Emma Stone from filmmaker Yorgos Lanthimos, who did The Favorite a couple of years ago, which was nominated for a bunch of Oscars. And he makes really weird stuff. This is a really super weird movie that I really like. Very adult also, by the way. So don't take the kids to this one. But it is, it's almost defies explanation. Kind of just go see it if you're into weird and good performances, but also very polarizing. A lot of people aren't necessarily into it.
Richie says you have new TV shows that you wanted to mention. Is that right? Or
oh yeah, well, getting into my favorites of 2023. So since this is the year, the time of year where people do that on the movie side, it would be Oppenheimer is my number one of the year. I think it's just a fantastic film, and that's one of those. If you look back, you know, like we were kind of discussing before, look back in 10 years and you go, oh, Oppenheimer won the Oscar for Best Picture. I don't think anybody's going to have a problem with that. Another one which I really, really liked, which kind of flew under the radar, is A Million Miles Away, which is streaming now on Prime Video. It's the story of NASA flight engineer Jose Hernandez, who was the first migrant farm worker to ever go into space. It's a really well done, tearjerker, inspiring. Michael Pena stars in it. It's really accessible. You know, we were talking about some of these things not being accessible and being weird and things like that. This is a really good story that I think didn't get enough attention. And I, you know, if you do not cry while watching this movie, there's something wrong with it.
And that's streaming on
Prime Video.
Prime Video, okay.
And then in terms of TV shows, if you wanted to catch up on some stuff, and these are not under the radar things necessarily, a lot of people have watched these, but my favorite new show of the year was The Last of Us, which was on HBO, which feels like it came out over a year ago, but it was January of 2023. That's the video game adaptation starring Pedro Pascal and Bella Ramsey. Also, A Small Light, which was a miniseries about the people who helped hide Anne Frank, focusing on Meep Geese. Really, really well done. And a show that just came out on Netflix within the past couple months, I think, The Diplomat, starring Kerry Russell. Really, really good. Political intrigue. It feels like The West Wing and Homeland a little bit. And there's a good reason for that. The creator of the show, Deborah Kahn, worked on both of those shows.
I see.
So that's why it feels like that. But Kerry Russell, who's fantastic in just everything she does, is really good in this.
That's terrific. Wow. I don't know how you take in all this content, but you do it. So
I have no life.
Thank you so much for sharing at least for the benefits of that. You can find him on Twitter at ABC News Jason. He is Jason Nathanson. Happy New Year, man. Thank you,
too.
You so
take
much.
Care.
All right. Jason Nathanson, great stuff for the end of the year. Our time is short, but I want to check in with Chris Merrill. What's up,
Chris?
That
was terrible. That was a terrible programming decision.
No.
You should have kept Jason on through the end of the program.
I see.
This radio's clicking off now. They go, wow, that was great.
We value our time with you, sir. What's that happens in the Merrill house for the big New Year's?
Oh, listen, it's big for us. New Year's a huge holiday. Some of us stay up as late as, say, 9:30.
What it is,
we have to get ready. Really, we have to get ready because we have a 130-pound terrified dog.
And somebody's
going to start shooting off fireworks, or I hope they're fireworks, and that dog is going to be terrified.
Here in L.A., there are people literally shooting. That's the thing.
I know.
They're not fireworks. They're shooting.
That's what worries me.
Yeah. It's very, very troubling. We love you. We wish you a happy new year.
Happy new year to you, my friend.
Eric's explained that the 5th is the cutoff for saying happy new year. So we would appreciate it if you would conform to that.
I appreciate the guidance on that.
Yeah.
Well done. I approve. I approve. Yeah.
Chris, many more shows in the new year, my friend. Have
Thanks,
a good
buddy.
One. All right. That's Chris Merrill, who will fill for Conway next. Thank you, everybody at KFI. So much fun. You know, this is sort of my extended family. Love seeing everyone, and it does just feel so comfortable. Everybody is supportive and really terrific. So we've had a great year, and I'm looking forward to another one. Everyone listening, thank you for your support of this great radio station. And we'll look forward to a new year with you all as well. Mark Thompson for John Cobalt on KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, you've been listening to the John Cobalt Show podcast. You can always hear the show live on KFI AM 640 from 1 to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday. And of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.